Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Reigns and Edge Show, and well, you know, that's what we decided to call it, because I'm Mark Edge and
Henry Reigns,
and we're doing a show, so there you go. Thanks to the Free Talk Live Network, anyway.
How is the Free Talk Live Network doing these days? Ever since we showed up.
I did manage to, there's a few changes on the horizon, if you'd like to talk about that. In fact, we are putting together a Telegram channel where listeners will be able to interact if that's what they wish to do. And there'll be a Reigns and Edge room in that particular channel. So people can come in there and say, you know, talk.
Somebody has said to us to get a room?
That's what they've said. So, yeah, and I had an email come in this week of people talking, you know, just talking about the show, saying they like having me back on and like having you, and so there you go.
I almost believe you.
No, it's true.
I'm sure they said they like having you back because you've been gone.
Sort of. I haven't been on the regular show. I just don't think that the remote stuff works that well. I really like being in studio with a person.
Yes.
Yeah.
They don't say, who is that progressive groomer that you are talking to that is going to turn all our children into communists?
Well, I'd be far more concerned about that than anything else. They do use terms like grooming to describe progressives oftentimes, right?
Well, especially child traffickers. They use it a lot with them, too.
Yeah. Anyway, they do.
You got to be careful how you use that word these days. People don't even take a joke well much anymore. And, well, we have some things to pick up on loose ends. We have some new topics that we can talk about in the hours to come. And we have Ron DeSantis has said he's not responsible for the new curriculum, but he's very proud of it. And it's all the scholars, which one man's scholars is another man's groomer these days. How about Vivek Ramaswamy? Who is he?
He was at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and as I understand it, he's a former listener of Free Talk Live.
Why did he quit?
Well, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, a listener's a listener. If you've ever listened to Free Talk Live, you're
once a Marine, always Marine.
That's right. That's how I feel.
Well, he thinks he can be president, or he's asking us to make him president.
He's certainly one of those,
something.
Yes.
About that. And then we spent a lot of time talking about Jason Aldean last week. And
he's a country music star.
Yes. With a try that in a small town.
Yeah.
He can try this in a small town, but he's was talking about trying that in a small town. And you know, when you get to a certain point where you're the household name of the week or the household name du jour, people start looking in your background. Mm. And we have a little bit. We're not going to beat it up like we did last week, but there's some things to bring up about that. We didn't get to FedNow. That was the new Federal Reserve money transferring system. And probably just as well, because WorldCoin debuted since we were planning on talking about FedNow. And we're going to put those two things together and see what it might mean to you. And maybe you could have a Free Talk orb where you will scan irises, because not scan the individual iris. She doesn't need scanning, but everybody else's irises in their eyes need to be scanned for WorldCoin to bring the world a better place and the utopian financial.
This is, sounds like Beijing's new idea for a central bank digital currency. Let's get everybody's irises, too.
Yes. Twitter becomes X. Maybe it'll all work in with that. Maybe X will scan your irises so that they can become the all-in-one app that Elon Musk wants to have.
So I didn't know this X thing was going to happen. They didn't run this by me, just so you know. And
very few people knew it was going to happen.
Is that so? I am just sort of surprised. I wonder if there's something more to it in so much as like they needed to get rid of the brand or whatever the situation was. But it
or just narcissistic sociopathic impulses.
It could be. It just seemed like a solution looking for a problem.
Now, there will be sort of a circular touching of different topics in this, because I also have Judeo-Christian roots will ensure U.S. military artificial intelligence is used ethically. And we can talk about that, but
I'm like, ridiculous.
We should just let artificial intelligence read all the Marvel comics in the library and let them come up with the ethics for all the Marvel comics weapons.
Why Marvel comics? Why not DC?
Well, they'll probably get around to that anyway. We got to start somewhere.
I see.
But we could all just do it alphabetically.
I think that it's amazing some of the topics that were touched on back in the 60s by Marvel Comics that still resonate with Americans today. Ultron comes to mind with machine learning and, AI and all that stuff.
But before that, in the 60s, now, Underground Comics, that's not a brand, that was a type. Underground Comics were comics like Robert Crumb, some of the other people that names are escaping me right now, which I used to know. Like his last name was Griffith, he did Zippy the Pinhead, and some people like that. Von Baudet, who did get around to doing some paperback covers and things like that for science fiction and fantasy novels. But he had a series. Never went too far because it was being sold fanzine style. And before the internet, fanzine styles were definitely a word of mouth or not easily accessed. But he had a series called Machines, which are all about fighting machines, which had developed little personalities and different functions and it's amazing how close it is getting to his vision now with machines with personalities. And then...
Before you go on that, I do have this question.
Yes.
So the first comic that I recall purchasing, I'm not talking about Donald Duck when I'm four or anything like that. I remember where I was, and you and I happen to be in Bradenton, Florida right now. It was over on Manatee. It was a Foodway over on Manatee Avenue.
Oh, Foodway.
Yep. And
that was my go-to place, too.
I know you're a fan.
It probably didn't last long, though, after you.
It was Avengers, I believe, 231.
Wow.
The Attack of Plant Man. It wasn't any,
I think I got Avengers 9 there.
Well, that would have been a long time ago.
Divided by 12, you'll figure out
like
how many.
1963. 64. Yeah. Well, this would have been probably 82 is just my guess if I had to.
I'm sure the math will come out.
But I bought the book. I'm like, and I read it, and I'm 12, right? And, my tastes aren't really refined.
Late bloomer on that.
And I enjoyed it thoroughly, just really, really loved it. And so I went hunting around, and I found a comic book store that wasn't too far from my house. I went to that comic book store. The first person I met there was your mom. Marge.
No.
Rains.
Families were drafted in to participate.
Shortly thereafter, I met your then-girlfriend, Sue, and, met you and all that. But to me, the contact for comic books was the grocery store.
Yeah.
And I don't know how far out on a limb I'm going here, but to say that in 1983 that comic book stores were relatively rare comparative to, say, today or in the 90s or at some point after that.
There was a shrinkage in the comic book store population sometime in the 90s, but they're back around now. They've changed quite a bit.
Okay. Yeah, I would think that
the more pop culture stories. Now.
Yeah,
I was aspiring to be a pop culture store.
Right. And you know, like maybe they have little statuettes of Wonder Woman or Superman or Thanos or whatever, and they sell all kinds of things now at comic book stores as opposed to just comic books. But where did one get these fanzines in the 70s?
Well, let's go back to the 60s.
Okay.
Because there was something, the first one I got.
Like head shops?
No, the head shops didn't exist anywhere around Bradenton.
I'm talking about nationwide.
Yes, even then that would have been a stretch. Underground Comics first appeared in head shops, like in San Francisco area there. But fanzines, magazines, or really, see, you'd have to go back to Ditto machines and mimeograph machines. Xerox was a technological breakthrough for copying
really
documents. And so a lot of people would maybe have access to the Ditto machine at their school.
Yeah.
We used to get our Ditto paper with the test, and every kid in the class would
smell it,
snorting it, huffing it. And I don't think we really got too much benefit from it, but it was something to do while you're waiting for the test to start.
And I think it was a groupthink kind of thing. Like one person's like, I love the smell of these things, and then pretty soon everybody's smelling the paper.
Yes.
But it was very common. I never thought, oh, I love the smell of these things. I always did it. Right. And that's how fentanyl happens, kids.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, but in Marvel Comics, it probably would have been about a year or two after I started, there were like classified ads in Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
And there was an ad for this thing called the Rockets Blast Comic Collector. Now, fanzines existed before this. In fact, I think fanzines existed. Well, I didn't know we were doing a comic book show.
I have
total
questions.
The market may be bigger than whatever it was we've been doing.
Well, wait until I ask you about your opinion on Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, because I have a listener in particular that will want to see you roasted.
Well, anyway, the Rock Blast Comic Collector was a really thick, and it was it wasn't mimeograph. It wasn't Ditto machine. I had some things like that I got later, but this was mass produced, at least as in the hundreds, maybe thousands, and comic book dealers from all over the place would advertise in that. Everything was mail order, but you could see that if you had money, you know, like if you had maybe $5 or $10, you could get treasure from around the country if they if they would handle your order very efficiently. But then there would be a certain number of articles in there too, just to give it some cultural value. Anyway, that's where it happened, and that's sort of how I found out, oh, comic books can make you money, which wasn't really my intent. I just loved reading them back then, and which is why some of my comics from 1964 probably have some pictures cut out of them because they wound up on the wall.
Yeah, why not? But they had pinups back then. I mean, you were supposed to cut the pages out of them. And this is one of the things about comics that I very clearly feel, as far as my son goes, comics are for reading. And in order to read them, kids must produce wear and tear. I don't believe in this holding on and saving of paper stuff. That's for somebody else. I'm not saying it shouldn't be done, but it is not for me and my family. And so I buy the books, I give them to the kid, read them, do what it takes. You know, if you want to read them in the pool, I don't care. Just read it.
Well, that would really be silly.
That would be silly.
You better read fast.
Well, it depends on the comic book. You're talking about 1963 comics, whereas new graphic novels will hold together.
And just to put an ironic punctuation on your opinion there, is we are actually the home in this Manatee, Sarasota County market area of CGC, which I forget what it was, but
what it stands for?
Jay-Z bought the company recently where they grade and slab the comic book on it and put it on a scale from 0 to 10, and
It's really from 0 to 100 because they create on a point basis.
Well, 0 to like 9.9, I would still call that 0 to 10.
Right.
All right, we're splitting hairs here. Anyway, JC wanted a piece of the action on that, and he is now, his group is now the ownership group of that. But they do trading cards, they do a lot of different things, comic books being one of the primary things. And unlike a trading card, which if you were put it between two plastic pieces of plastic and sealed that plastic hermetically sealed, you could still look at both sides of
the card. Yeah.
Card. But they put these comics that spark the fantasies and imaginations of generations, and they seal them.
Yep.
So that you can't read the story.
Yeah.
Because if you ever open the plastic once it's been sealed, you've ruined the benefit of the grading, which the benefit of the grading is to get you more money when you go to sell them. So really, you just sell your two pieces of plastic with some color between them to somebody else who, because it's graded and carries a weight of authority, will hopefully be able to sell it, and it's
turns it into an investment.
Yes.
And that's a thing that I don't want and I'm not interested in. I obsessed about how, you know, how well my comics were treated. I saw people who obsessed even greater than I. And to me, it's stories. I can get Marvel Unlimited, which is an app, and it allows me to read, to the best of my knowledge, the entire Marvel universe.
The Marvel canon?
Yeah, the Marvel canon for $60 a year. I'm sure there's some things left out. I don't know that they're missing.
That's the platinum level.
Yeah, right. Well, there's probably something out there that they just don't want me to know, and I don't know what that is. But it's, to me, that's great. I love it, and I'm happy to share it with my family. Here's the question that is going to...
Why don't you put your password out and share it with the audience?
I'm not going to do that. All the crap they read. No.
Well, maybe if they allow you to scan their irises, that'll be a premium they get.
So, my question is, who was the greater creator? Who is responsible for all the glory that is Marvel, Jack Kirby or Stan Lee?
Well, it depends on if you want the better marketing and organizational person, or you want the visually creative person, because if you look at what Jack Kirby created after he left Marvel, his track record wasn't all that good. If you look at
Gods at DC, and then the artist redrawing Superman's face.
Well, that was sort of like the peak of his free agency.
Yeah,
you know, when leaving Marvel, DC was willing to have him revamp their lineup. But if you look at what he and Joe Simon, Jack Kirby and Joe Simon, Simon and Kirby,
yep,
created prior to World War II, before they both had to enter the armed forces and leave for a little while, and when they came back, they were the creative powerhouses of that generation.
Mm-hmm.
So Simon and Kirby created Captain America. Simon and Kirby created...
Wasn't the last name Simon also associated with Superman? I'm sorry, I'm not much...
Siegel and Schuster.
Siegel and Schuster, thank you.
Right. There was a high percentage of young Jewish men that were involved,
yes,
in the comic book industry who came from the pulp magazine industry.
Yeah.
Because in the hierarchy of things, the you know, ethnic groups that are on the rise will gravitate into businesses where they can build success. So at the highest levels of publishing, that was considered a very WASPist kind of executive group. And then you can say the same thing about movies, because people moved out to the West and started studios, and there was a high percentage of people that were Jewish ethnicity,
yeah,
that did
that. Vaudeville actors, oddly, right, went to acting.
Right. And so, anyway, they did that in the comic book industry. And Simon and Kirby, they also did things that probably people don't have any familiarity with, if you're younger than you, Mark. If there used to be romance comics.
Yep.
They created the genre of romance comics. Not
they
that they created romance.
Okay.
But they figured out a format that they could produce stories about romance that would appeal to female buyers. At least the majority of female buyers were for the romance comics seem to be women or young women.
Most of the romance novel purchasers would probably be young women.
You know, it was a much more democratic, little d democratic market that back then that they had. There used to be, you heard of the Bowery Boys, right?
I don't think I have.
Bowery Boys were one of those groups. We've heard of Little Rascals.
Yep.
Okay. So one of the genres within movies in the 30s and 40s were young kids or teenagers that formed groups and got into adventures.
Gangs.
Yes. They did the Newsboy Legion. They did some other things like that. They started some Western comics. The Western comics had other entities, but they created that in the Western genre.
They also worked within the war comics. There used to be Sergeant Fury and the Howling Commandos before Nick Fury got a promotion.
Right. That was in the 60s. That was not so much a Simon and Kirby or a Jack Kirby production, but it was pulling on the World War II experience, which basically, when my generation, all our parents had been involved in World War II. And if there wasn't somebody that was in one of the armed forces, you wondered what was going on with them.
Indeed. They probably got a chicken feather at some point. So what do you say when people say, hey, it was Jack Kirby or Stan Lee that was truly the genius behind Marvel Comics?
Stan Lee was the organizational genius and the marketing genius, and Jack Kirby was the visual genius. But there were a lot of other people that Stan Lee had created a system of working that we'll talk about when we come back that was unique in the comic book industry, and it was primarily so that Stan Lee could create or get his fingers on more titles and create more revenue.
He was editor-in-chief of, you know, the number two comic company in America at that point.
Right. And he actually, his very first story was a Captain America story that was just like a one-page text story. I mean, they actually had, like, little short stories in comic books, too. There was a lot of different things going on there. And, you know,
when he was a teenager, young teen.
If you ever had comics from the 1940s, and you get a sense of how World War II permeated the culture all the way through, because if you grew up during the Vietnam era, it wasn't something that inspired you to, march down the street. But if your dad was there, you probably had a whole other attitude about the whole thing.
My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Till the day that he died, he wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
U.S. USA News update. Carly Russell made headlines after telling police she was kidnapped in Hoover, Alabama. She later admitted that her story was a hoax, and police have now filed charges against her. The police chief of Hoover saying he's frustrated that Russell is only being charged with two misdemeanors despite the panic and disruption she caused, but he adds the law does not allow for enhanced charges. No end in sight as a heat wave is continuing this weekend in the Midwest and Northeast. The rising temperatures are putting cities on emergency footing and ramping up pressure on cities like New York's power grid.
The city's emergency management commissioner, Zach Iskel, is asking New Yorkers to keep their thermostats at 78 degrees.
Cool enough to keep you cool, but not so cool that you're placing an undue burden on the electrical grid that could lead to blackouts or brownouts around the city.
Tim Berg, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay heating pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here
on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa, don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and you made such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's the Range and Edge Show, and welcome back to our next segment. We were in the midst of an important historical discussion of who was the more important, Jack Kirby, Stan Lee, not just to Marvel Comics, to the whole cultural milieu that we exist in now, Mark, because I would say if you were to scan the cable listings, there's probably more hours of Marvel Comics production than almost anything else. There's only so much Harry Potter. There's syndicated shows. I'm not really speaking too much to that. I'm talking about movies. There's only so many James Bond shows. But the Marvel content is all around. It's reused over and over and over again if you've ever lived in a house with someone that watches it over and over and over again.
What do you mean it's reused over and over again, the Marvel content? Are we talking about just the movies being used in, like,
well, I was talking
YouTube
about the movies
videos
just then, because pretty much everything else is behind a paywall,
yeah,
on Disney Plus. But the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe is pretty much out there if you're beyond, you know, the last couple years.
Yeah, I mean, I've got it all.
Yes. Well, and it's readily available. And are you a cable? Do you, in your household, do you have cable?
Or no, I wouldn't even know how to do that. I'll bet your mom does, though. I bet it goes right into her room.
Oh,
but I just have Disney Plus and Amazon Prime. And I think we've got something else. Yeah. Oh, yeah, my mom has Apple products, so we have Apple TV.
What about local news, sports?
Don't. What good is local news going to do to me? Do for me?
Well, you've got to find out the weather.
Weather shows up on my phone. It's. I can tell you the high today is 34 degrees.
But
centigrade.
What about the radar?
Well, I'm sure that I could click through.
Don't you want to see someone present it to you?
No. I have a... Presumably, if I'm going to drive a car, it's going to be either my mom's car, my ex-wife's car, or somebody's car, and they're going to have a umbrella in the car. If it is raining, I will pull it out and put it up.
There's
and
so much not, more to the weather than...
Not in Florida, there isn't. It's either hot or not hot, and it is either raining or not raining.
Mark. Cumulus Kitty.
I don't know what that is.
Well, the female anchor for the local news, people send her their pictures of cats looking out the window at the weather. You don't get that on your phone.
It's true, I don't.
All right. Well, I'm not going to convert you at this setting.
You're right about that.
We need to finish this discussion about Lee and Kirby so that we can get on to important things like DeSantis and Ramaswamy. But the big innovation that Stan Lee did, because he had so many titles to produce, to put his name on, is...
And those titles existed because of the team that was Kirby and Lee.
And... John Heck and Steve Ditko, yeah. There were a whole bunch of them there. But the technique over at D.C., they did it much more like storyboards with scripts. It would start with the author who would write a script, and then the artist would get the script and think about how to illustrate that. With Lee and Kirby and Lee and the other artists, they would get together, they would talk about a plot, and what was going to happen in the story they were going to tell in that issue. Also, one of the things about DC Comics, they started with the comic book cover. They wanted a cover that would get somebody to spend their dime to find out what that cover was about.
Yes.
Or their 12 cents after inflation hit. And with Lee and Kirby and the others, they had the story, and then they picked an image that would best represent the story they were telling. So they would have a story. The artist would illustrate it. There'd be some general outline about, you know, we want this in the beginning, in the middle, in the end. And then
here's the hook, and
Stan Lee would go back and write the dialogue. And so they might say, well, we need a page of Mr. Fantastic talking to the other Fantastic Four members. And Lee would receive a page of that and, you know, figure out what he was going to do. And then as time goes by, as they started to create some soap opera, you know, they would discuss that.
And so this is making comics the Marvel way, I guess. And when did they change from that whole thing? I mean,
when did who change from that?
Marvel. Is that still what they do?
I don't know. They haven't kept me in the loop.
Is that what they did on to the 80s?
Well, I think that's pretty... Well, you have artist writers now and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think every artist and writer or combination of that want to be at their most creative or at least is their most revenue generating. And then think about the best way to do that.
Okay. Well, there you go. So my contention...
Brains and edge on the comics.
Yeah, my contention is that without each other, without... that Jack Kirby was never... He was always prolific. He always did some amazing stuff. But without Stan Lee, he wasn't at his very best. I mean...
He would probably argue that he was better with Joe Simon.
He might, but I would disagree with him. The people that right now, I mean, what enduring characters did he and Joe Simon create?
Let's start with Captain America.
Captain America, Namor, and Human Torch.
No, Bill Everett did that. Human Torch was Carl Burgess.
Okay, so we've got one enduring character worth talking about out of the Simon.
That's a pretty good record for some character that has endured for
80 years. Yeah, it's good, but. If you look at those 1961, 61 through 65, you know, Fantastic Four, all four characters. Avengers, five characters, plus adding...
No, those were already existing individual characters.
Which ones are you referring to? Are you talking about Human Torch?
No.
Yeah, but Thor was barely existing, and the Journey into Mystery hadn't even
turned into...
Yeah, I mean, these weren't...
Avengers came after those things.
They did, yes. Yeah. But they weren't what they were until the Avengers stuck them together. And by the way, Captain America didn't exist without the Avengers, basically.
He existed without the Avengers because he preceded the event.
He wasn't published at that time.
Well, yes, Mark. Our existence started in your lifetime.
And then... X-Men comes around. I mean, all these
Children
characters.
Of the Atom.
What's that?
Children of the Atom.
Yep. There were so many of the these characters that were come up with in that time frame, and so much of the creation was done by that duo, by Kirby and Lee. And I think that's amazing. You can't give them enough credit. But once they're not together,
you could give more money.
What's that?
You could give them more money.
Well, you can't give Jack Kirby any more money, and you can't give Stan Lee any more money.
You could give their estate.
I know, but what's the point of that?
Stan Lee was not prolific as creating children, but the Kirby estate is out there.
Yeah, I'm sure Kirby's kids would love more of your money, but...
Well, yeah, history is such an important topic.
And I think that this is a... the topic of intellectual property is very interesting to me, is, well, I would like to see Jack Kirby rewarded... for his efforts. I don't really much care for rewarding for his kids. So, you know, doesn't do anything for me.
Well, I'm sure your son will take interest in that opinion.
My son better get his butt to work.
Well, how about he get a driver's license first?
He has one.
I had a learner's permit.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. Give him a chance to enjoy his innocence.
God. What's the point of that? Did our forefathers enjoy their innocence?
I know yours.
I think they hung one of the kids from the bounty at 12.
He's a very creative young man, and he needs to be fostered in all his creative pursuits, or mentored, or something like that.
Indeed.
I don't know. What fostered? You need to foster his creativity and mentor it, is, I think, the proper use of the words. But have we... covered this now for
I'm
you?
I'm fine with it. I just wanted to get my thoughts out on that
okay.
subject.
Okay. Well, we have some leftover loose threads from last week.
Yeah.
We talked about
the Fed money.
Florida curriculum that was there was a new Black History curriculum, and a social studies curriculum, and it was addressing one of the components of it was to address slavery and how it's presented in social studies, especially middle school, high school. And Governor Ron DeSantis had signed the bill into law. One of the things that they had said in the instructions of, yeah, you haven't seen it all. I think I sent you the link, but I can understand. Well, yeah, but really it's not even, it's more than double space. It's like an outline. You know,
okay.
So if you look on one page, you might see 6 or 12 kind of sentences there. So the Black History part is about 12 pages.
Okay.
That are just in outline form. So it's not overwhelming for people to go over this, and especially as in journalists going over this and trying to get an idea of what's in there. So one of the things that stuck out was that Florida students were to be taught that the enslaved people could, some of them would have benefited from the skills they were taught as slaves, or that they accumulated as slaves. Now,
and I think that if that's the most jaw-dropping thing that they found in the curriculum, that the rest has to be pretty mild, because clearly somebody who does things, you know, like learn skills, benefits from those skills at some point in life. I mean, I don't think that justifies slavery, and didn't see any place in any of the articles where they say it was a justification.
Well, why don't we hear it from the governor's mouth himself? This is courtesy of a report by Jonathan Lemire, but it really was a public session with Governor DeSantis. It wasn't a solo interview or anything. Governor DeSantis was in a press conference, and he was asked about that issue himself. And
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis appears to be trying to distance himself from the recent changes that have been made to his state's public school curriculum. Now, last week, the Florida Board of Education approved new guidelines for teaching black history, which suggests that enslaved people reaped benefits from skills acquired during centuries of forced labor.
Now, to go back to your point before we hear from the governor, so the enslaved person, which could be taught a skill, perhaps carpentry or blacksmith or whatever, and then he would benefit from that skill because 30 years later, when he was still enslaved, he could continue to be a carpenter and blacksmith.
Well, I think that there are as many stories of slavery as there were people that were enslaved. And there were millions. And I recall, and I can't come off the top of my head with this guy's name, but he won a lottery, and he took the money from the lottery and bought his freedom. Now, the way he was able to pay for the tickets, he held a slave. He was part of a slave rebellion after he was free. Very interesting story. He's trying to get his wife free. Anyway, slaves were allowed to earn, in some cases, slaves were allowed to earn money with extra work and things like that. So I think it is still
fair. Well, what
to
is
say,
the anecdotal story that you're telling have to do with the broader curriculum directive that they're going to use to instruct
the children? I think that
there's
two traps, right? The slaves had a really great trap, and there's the everything was Django Unchained trap, right? And when in fact it was both of those things were true, because there were certainly slaves that had it pretty good, and there were certainly slaves that had it really awful and died very, very young.
What was pretty good?
I would guess that Thomas Jefferson's wife slash
concubine,
fine, had it pretty good. Just a guess. But I do believe that there are people out there that just don't have
a wife might have had it better.
Do you believe that every story is as bad as the worst slave story?
That's a very almost micro anecdotal story.
Uh-huh.
The concubine or mistress of a slave owner. The enslaved mistress and concubine had it pretty good. Let's get back to the issue at hand, which was really that this is what the directives are. This is a priority in the teaching about slavery. This is going to be one of the ideas that they judge the effectiveness of the teacher teaching these ideas.
Well, I think that there's this is a reaction to the critical race theories by some college professors that believe that communism is better explained through in the Western Hemisphere is better explained through a lens of race than it is through a lens of.
Well, that's something to be discussed, but this object of this story is the fact that our governor is so thin-skinned and unable to take responsibility for anything. This is what he had to say when he was asked about it.
This prompted DeSantis to defend his state while also denying any personal responsibility for the new education standards. Take a listen.
Well, you should talk to them about it. I mean, I didn't do it, I wasn't involved in it. But I think what they're doing is I think that they're probably going to show some of the folks that eventually parlayed, being a blacksmith into doing things later in life. But the reality is all of that is rooted in whatever is factual. They listed everything out. And if you have any questions about it, just ask the Department of Education. You can talk about those folks. But, I mean, these were scholars who put that together. It was not anything that was done politically.
I didn't have anything to do with it. It was scholars. It was, you know, he's obviously floundering with this. He does knows how ridiculous it sounds. Maybe we should, just, let me give him another shot. Maybe he'll make it clearer this time.
To them about it. I mean, I didn't do it. Or I wasn't involved
in it. I didn't do it.
But I think, I think what they're doing is I think that they're probably going to show some of the folks that eventually parlayed
the folks that were enslaved,
being a blacksmith into doing things later in life. But the reality is all of that is rooted in whatever is factual. They listed everything out.
Break. So is that the profiling courage of a presidential aspirant? Is that really where you want to go with that?
Well, I mean, at this point, all he's doing is competing against Trump, so...
Au contraire, Mark.
Okay.
Go ahead and finish your thought.
Well, I mean, my good friend Aaron Day is running against him, and with this Vivek, I don't know his last name, I just can't nail it. What is Vivek's last name? Shashwarmi or...
Ramaswamy,
yeah.
Well, there was one of the candidates that took Governor DeSantis for task on this, and it may not have helped him with his Republican potential voters, but it does, at least in my opinion, have a little bit more rationality to it. Here's Governor Chris Christie.
I didn't do it and I'm not involved in it are not the words of leadership. You know, look, Governor DeSantis started this fire with the bill that he signed, and now he doesn't want to take responsibility for whatever is done in the aftermath of it. And from listening and watching his comments, he's obviously uncomfortable. He only started to focus on this when he decided he wanted to run for president and try to get to the right of Donald Trump. And so I think people see this as politically manipulative. And I'm talking about, Margaret, we're dividing our country into smaller and smaller and smaller pieces.
Yeah.
And politicians are pitting them against each other to create conflict. And that's not going to make the country bigger, better, stronger, or freer.
I agree with him. I agree 100% with Chris Christie on that.
Think that'll get him any votes?
No. And that's the problem. The problem is that the people who agree with him will never vote for him. And I don't know what else to say about that. It's a shame. I do agree that the political system is broken. And I don't have any ways to solve that particular problem. You know, stop giving liars and thieves your attention. I don't have any other solution.
Well, the purpose of the political system is to accumulate power. The purpose of a political party is to get people elected to accumulate power. So the system is working, but the question is it working for the people that vote for these people?
It's a republic, ma'am, if you can keep it.
Yes.
And that's the problem, is I don't know that we kept it.
Well,
was it the Princeton study? This thing's got to be 10 years old now that says that the United States system more closely tracks to an oligarchy than it does to a democracy. That, you know, whatever problems and benefits are inherent in a democracy, we are closer to the problems and benefits inherent in an oligarchy. You can look this up if you wondering, but I think Princeton studied
oligarchy. Or I could
look
at the Constitution and see how it was enshrining slavery for the oligarchs in the South in the rural agrarian part of the country, and also in enshrining political power by giving the people that weren't considered people based on the enslavement, weren't considered citizens, but allowing the people that controlled their lives, that viewed them as property, a three-fifths of a vote, or not three-fifths of a vote, but three-fifths of weighting in the representation in the central government. But let's put that aside for just a moment. So we heard from Governor DeSantis, presidential wannabe, Chris Christie, at least a two-time presidential wannabe. Why don't we hear from somebody that actually knows something about being presidential?
Well, nobody else could make a decision but me, because I was the president. The final decision comes to the president, you know. I used to have a sign
Thursday.
On my desk, the buck stops here. The buck stops at the president's desk when he's president of the United States, and he either makes the decisions or he let them go by default, and you can't afford to do that when you're president.
That was Harry Truman, former president at that time.
I'm glad he's taking responsibility for killing all those civilians and when he dropped the bomb.
And Buck stops there.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sure he would have taken credit for it because he
really never did shy away from the fact that he did it.
Yeah. It also speaks to the fact that in modern culture, you know, because it was like really the 1960 election when TV really started to take hold in the presentation and the articulateness of the candidate. I mean, after Harry Truman, it was Eisenhower elected twice, and Eisenhower could have run on either political party. You have all those World War II veterans.
Yep.
He was pretty much a shoe-in on that.
He was very moderate.
Right.
Republican.
I'm not going to play this whole thing, but just think about this. If this were the voice of the person on the debate stage with the other Christies and Ron DeSantis, what would you think of a voice that sounded like?
Well, nobody else can make a decision to me because I was the president. The final decision comes to the president, you know.
Given that the microphone might be a little rough.
I'm sure that there's
recording.
Some audio issues going on, but I still don't know what he's saying exactly. I was expecting, when you said you had a Truman clip earlier, I was expecting the whole transatlantic accent. You know, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. I mean, FDR is famous for his transatlantic accent, but Truman, no, he sounds like
he just
came out of a wood shed in Tennessee.
One of the few presidents, if not the only president, that never graduated from college.
Who is Truman?
Yes.
Okay.
I've got just the money part of the quote down here. So he said this before, so you can tell after playing that first part. This is where he gets ready to give you the money.
The buck stops here. The buck stops at the president's desk when he's president of the United States.
Even that's a little rough, though.
Yeah, well, that's where you can tell the he said it many times, so I would presume that's as clear as he gets, whatever that is.
I think he lived another 8 or 10 years after, so he probably had the benefits or the hassles of aging probably affected his speech a little bit too.
Indeed.
Well, Mark, we have gotten through another segment and. My goodness, we're going to have to come up, and maybe we'll stick on the presidential track and see what else we have.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.